An aunt makes her adult nephew an offer, $5,000 if he refrains from smoking, drinking, and gambling until his 30th birthday. 6 years. He was legally free to do all three. He gives them up and stays clean the whole 6 years. Then the aunt dies, and her executor refuses to pay. The nephew only improved his own health, he says. She got nothing. Was there consideration? Yes. And the reason is the engine of this whole topic. Consideration can be a benefit to the promisor or a detriment to the promisee. You never need both. He gave up conduct he had every legal right to engage in because she asked. That is legal detriment, and it is enough. Today, the three questions that decide whether any promise is enforceable. Here's the root. First, consideration itself, and why courts refuse to weigh whether the trade was fair. Then, the four killers, the ways a bargain collapses, sham recitals, illusory promises, past consideration, and the pre-existing duty rule, with the exception the UCC carves out for goods. Then, forbearance. Then, the two substitutes. Promissory estoppel for the person who relied, and restitution for the benefit nobody should keep. Question 1. Was there a bargained-for exchange? The bargain theory has two parts. The promisee gives something of legal value, a return promise, an act, or a forbearance, and that value is bargained for. The promisor sought it in exchange for the promise, and the promisee gave it for the promise. Restatement Section 71. Exchange, not coincidence. Legal detriment means doing something you had no prior duty to do, or giving up a legal right you were free to exercise. That is our nephew exactly. And here's the quick test. Strike one side out. Would the other still have happened for its own reasons? Then it was not really bargained for. That is how you separate a bargain from a gift. Paint my fence this weekend and I'll pay you $300 as a bargain. Each was the price of the other. Because I like you, I'll give you $300 next Friday is not. A promise to make a gift is not a contract, however sincerely meant. Now the half that trips people constantly. Once consideration exists, courts do not weigh it. A peppercorn can support a large promise. A collector sells a painting she knows is worth $50,000 to a friend for $100, actually paid. No fraud, no pressure. Her heir sues to unwind it. The heir loses. Imbalance can matter, but through unconscionability, fraud, or duress, never as a consideration problem. If you find yourself calling a deal unenforceable because it is lopsided, stop. Wrong doctrine, which is why people dress gifts up as deals. A father recites that his daughter pays $1 in hand for a lot he means to give her. No dollar ever changes hands, and both knew none would. Most courts see the pretense. A recital of consideration is not consideration itself. Then, illusory promises. A promise that commits you to nothing cannot be consideration. A boutique signs for handbags at $40 each, commits to no minimum, and could, by its own terms, buy nothing at all. That promise is empty, so the supplier's return promise fails. Quick challenge. All the oat milk our cafes require, for 2 years. Illusory or not? Not illusory. That is a requirements contract, and the UCC reads in a duty to buy your actual good faith requirements. Section 2-306. The buyer is genuinely committed because it cannot in bad faith slash its needs to escape. Good faith is what makes the commitment real. Third killer, past consideration. It must be given in exchange for the promise, so it comes after or alongside it as its price. A woman spends a weekend reorganizing her elderly neighbor's garage while he is away, expecting nothing. He comes home thrilled and says he'll pay her $600. Traditionally, unenforceable. The work was finished before he said a word. Modern law carved an exception. The Material Benefit Rule, Restatement Section 86. A promise made in recognition of a material benefit the promisor already received binds to the extent needed to prevent injustice. The limits are hard. Not if the benefit was a gift. Not if the promisor was not actually enriched. Not to the extent the promise is out of proportion. Quick challenge. A neighbor lends you a stepladder for an afternoon. Months later, feeling sentimental, you sign a note promising him $10,000 in appreciation. Enforceable? No, on two grounds. The ladder was a gift, and $10,000 dwarfs any value it had. Change the facts. A worker shoves his supervisor clear of a falling crate and breaks his arm. The supervisor later promises in writing to cover the medical bills. That one binds. Saving a life is not tidying a garage. Three older situations revive a lapsed obligation with no fresh consideration. A signed new promise to pay a debt barred by the statute of limitations. A debt discharged in bankruptcy. And an adult ratifying a contract they made as a minor. Fourth killer, and the one the exam loves most. A contractor is halfway through a job, stops, and says he will not finish unless you pay another $10,000. Over a barrel, you agree. Enforceable? Traditionally, no. A promise to do only what you are already bound to do is not consideration. He gave nothing new. Restatement Section 73. Five ways out, and you want all five. 1. New or different performance the other side bargains for. Finishing early. Adding a task. 2. Unforeseen difficulties. Genuinely unanticipated circumstances that make performance far harder support a fair, good faith modification. Restatement Section 89. A crew hits rock no survey would have found, and $15,000 becomes $21,000. That holds. 3. A duty owed to a third party. A singer already bound to headline a festival takes $4,000 from a nearby hotel to be sure she goes on. She performs exactly as her festival contract required, and that is still consideration, because the performance is new as between her and the hotel. 4. An honest dispute. 5. Rescind and recontract. Now the rule that vanishes for goods. Under UCC Section 2-2091, a good faith agreement to modify a contract for the sale of goods needs no consideration at all. The only guard is good faith. A pottery studio hit by a kiln failure raises 300 plates from $9,000 to $10,500, and the buyer owes it. Identical facts in services, and it fails. One more thing counts, and it is why every settlement is enforceable. Forbearance. Giving up your right to sue is a real detriment someone may bargain for. And you do not have to have been right. Forbearance is consideration if the claim is doubtful in fact or law, or if you honestly and reasonably believe it may be valid. Restatement Section 74. Only a claim you know is baseless, surrendered in bad faith, fails. The same idea runs accord and satisfaction. Cash a check marked payment in full, and you discharge the whole debt, but only where the amount was genuinely disputed. On an undisputed debt, part payment discharges nothing, because the debtor already owed the whole thing. Question 2. No bargain, but did someone reasonably rely? That is promissory estoppel, and it protects the person who trusted you. Restatement Section 90. Four elements, and because this topic is starred, you supply them from memory. A promise, clear and definite enough to be relied on. Reliance the promisor should reasonably have expected. Actual reliance, detrimental, definite, and substantial, and injustice avoidable only by enforcing the promise. An engineer holds a secure, well-paid job. A company vice president tells her the job is hers. Give your notice, sell your house, move your family. She resigns, sells at a loss, relocates across the country. 2 days before her start date, the company calls it off. No bargain, no fixed term, nothing signed. But she relied, exactly as they should have expected. And here is the trap. Promissory estoppel is not automatic full damages. Because the wrong is reliance, courts often award reliance damages, enough to restore what she lost, rather than a bargain never struck. Section 90 lets a court limit the remedy as justice requires. A designer who turned down $12,000 of work and bought $2,000 of software recovers that, not the $40,000 the project would have paid. One special rule is worth memorizing on its own. Charitable subscriptions and marriage settlements bind under Section 92, even without proof of reliance. A donor pledges $100,000 to a university, then dies, and her estate argues nobody spent a dime in reliance. The pledge still binds. Question 3. No bargain and no reliance. Did someone unjustly keep a benefit? That is restitution, and it is not about promises at all. Lawyers call it quasi-contract, or a contract implied in law. No agreement, no consideration. The contract is a legal fiction invented to prevent unjust enrichment. Three elements. The plaintiff conferred a benefit. The defendant knew of or appreciated it, and keeping it without paying would be unjust. Then two guardrails. First, volunteers lose. A painter decides a family's fence looks shabby, repaints it while they are on vacation, and bills them $900. He recovers nothing. He forced an unrequested benefit on people who never had a chance to refuse. Quick challenge. A physician stops at a highway crash and treats an unconscious driver pinned in the wreck. Volunteer or not? Not a volunteer. A professional who renders necessary services in an emergency recovers their reasonable value. She acted out of necessity. The patient could not consent, and a professional is presumed to expect payment. Throughout, the measure is the value of the benefit conferred, quantum meruit, not any contract price, which is what rescues a failed deal. A caterer on an unenforceable oral 2-year contract, who already served 3 accepted events, recovers their value. The statute of frauds bars enforcing the contract. It does not bar restitution for what was delivered. Even a builder who walks off a job recovers the net benefit he left, minus the damage his breach caused. A word on authorities. This episode named no cases, and that was deliberate. The source teaches this topic through rules, and next-gen questions do the same. They hand you a fact pattern and ask what the rule produces. What the source does name is section numbers, and here those are the pegs, because this topic is starred. The exam gives you no statute. You supply the rule. If you keep only 3, keep these. Restatement Section 71. The bargain requirement each side gives to get. Restatement Section 90. Promissory estoppel. A definite promise, expected reliance, actual detrimental reliance, injustice. And UCC Section 2-209, which deletes the pre-existing duty rule for a sale of goods. Those 3 decide most of what this topic asks. Now the traps, straight from the examiner's favorites. 1. Adequacy. If you are deciding a deal is enforceable because it is fair, or unenforceable because it is lopsided, you are in the wrong doctrine. 2. A gift dressed as a bargain, a recited but unpaid dollar, or because you have been so kind to me, almost always signals no bargain. 3. Past consideration. In return for all you have already done is the red flag, and Section 86 is the exception to watch for. 4. Pre-existing duty on goods. Never apply the common law rule to a sale of goods, because Section 2-209 needs no consideration to modify. 5. Promissory estoppel is not automatic full damages. Reliance often caps it. 6. Volunteers lose. Restitution rewards a benefit conferred, not one you forced on an unwilling recipient. And here is how this topic shows up. It hides as an "Is there even a contract?" gate inside a bigger fact pattern. Someone quitting a job, relocating, spending money because of a promise. That screams promissory estoppel. Services rendered with no agreement screams restitution. Time for the quick check. And this one comes straight from the Bargo Question Bank. A landscaper contracts to install a homeowner's garden for a flat $6,000. Halfway through, with nothing unexpected, he announces the work is more tedious than he figured and demands an extra $2,000 to finish. Anxious to have the garden done before a party, she agrees. He finishes exactly the work he originally promised. She pays the $6,000 and refuses the rest. Is her promise to pay the extra $2,000 enforceable? Option 1. Yes, because the parties freely agreed to raise the contract price. Option 2. No, because the landscaper only promised work he was already bound to do. Option 3. Yes, because the work proved more tedious than the landscaper expected. Pause here if you want a moment. The answer is option 2, the pre-existing duty rule. He promised nothing beyond the installation he already owed, so nothing new supports the extra $2,000. Option 1 is the classic trap. Mutual agreement is not enough, and free assent cannot supply what consideration requires. Option 3 reaches for the unforeseen difficulties exception, but a job being harder than hoped is not unforeseen. He bore that risk when he set his price. Change one fact, make it a sale of goods, and the answer flips. There are 30-plus more questions on this topic alone, each with every option explained like that. 5 things to take away. 1. Consideration is legal value, bargained for, a benefit to the promisor or a detriment to the promisee, never both. And courts do not weigh whether the trade was fair. 2. 4 killers: sham recitals, illusory promises, past consideration, and a duty already owed. 3. The pre-existing duty rule has 5 escapes at common law, and none at all for a sale of goods, where Section 2-209 needs no consideration. 4. Promissory estoppel enforces a promise someone reasonably and detrimentally relied on, usually for reliance losses, not the whole bargain. 5. Restitution pays for a benefit unjustly kept, never to a volunteer, which is why the nephew collects his $5,000. He gave up something he had every legal right to do, because she asked him to. That is the whole idea. Next time, defenses. Practice this topic with more than 2,900 exam-style questions, free to start, at nextgenbargo.com. This episode is for education and exam preparation only, not legal advice, and we are not affiliated with or endorsed by the NCBE or any bar examining authority.